bringing you key insights, tips, and advice from the brightest minds in the Canadian franchise industry, this is the Franchise Canada Chats podcast. I'm Gary Prenevost, your host of the Franchise Canada Chats podcast, where we take you into the world of franchising. Season 7 of Franchise Canada Chats will feature interviews with franchisees, franchisors, and industry leaders sharing key insights and expert advice on navigating challenges on their path to success. Franchise Canada Chats is brought to you by FranNet, Canada's franchise matchmaking experts. At FranNet, we help you to build your optimum business model. Then we introduce you to well-suited franchise options. Then, most importantly, we coach you through all aspects of your research so that you can arrive at an informed and defensible yes or no decision.
Hello, everyone in Canada franchise land. This is Gary Prenevost, president of FranNet of Southern Ontario and author of the just-released book, The Unstoppable Franchisee. Welcome to the next episode of Franchise Canada Chats. It's my pleasure today to welcome Candace Parent, who is a franchisee with Molly Maid. She opened her Molly Maid franchise in Windsor in January of 2022. Welcome, Candace.
Thanks, Gary. I'm happy to be here.
And it's a pleasure to have you here, Candace. Thank you for joining us today. Tell us a little bit about, you retired from teaching and you found franchising. Tell us a little bit about that transition, please.
Yeah, so I grew up here in Windsor and then have spent the last 16 years in the GTA. I started my teaching career in Windsor and I started my teaching career over when I moved into the GTA. I had a successful career as an elementary school teacher for the Halton District School Board. And then because of my partner's job, we were sent back to Windsor. And at that point, I assumed that I was going to continue with my teaching career. What I didn't know, though, is that when you transfer boards, you will be able to have a job interview, most likely get on the occasional teaching list, but you actually start over from the bottom. Oh, so after 20 years of teaching, I would have had to start over. And I did. I got on the occasional teacher list and, you know, I did a couple of teaching supply days. And I was not finding the happiness that that job brought me anymore, only because I had to start over and because I needed to be on probation and I wouldn't be able to get a full-time job right away and all of these things working against me. And I thought to myself, I'm in the perfect position right now to make a career change. So I started thinking, what am I going to do? I started looking for jobs on Indeed, went there right away. And I'm like, really, how am I going to work for anybody? I'm just going to boss everybody around. So I knew somebody that knew somebody that actually owned the Molly Maid franchise in Windsor. And so I had always heard about how it was going. Next thing I knew, it was for sale. And I thought, this might be something I could do. Did a lot of research, started digging into everything that I could get online, started asking the current franchise owner in Windsor a lot of questions, asked her to connect me with corporate so I could dig in there and ask some questions and, you know, talked about it with my family and I went for it. I just went for it.
I love it. And we'll come back to that in a minute. A lot of our audience are prospective franchisees, Candace. So what, with the research that you did, some are looking for existing business, but a lot are looking for new franchises. What are the critical components of the research that you would tell them, look, you really want to pay attention to this?
Yeah, I think you need to find out, because franchises are different in every city because of the demographics. I think you need to learn what those demographics are, what parts of the city you're servicing, what does growth look like? I think growth would be really important to see how the franchise was growing. But if the franchise wasn't growing, is the potential there? So looking at how the city is growing. So in Windsor, there's a lot of growth happening here. There's a lot of low-hanging fruit. So looking at all of this, I saw an opportunity to take a business that was doing okay, but to take that and grow it. I saw the potential here in Windsor, and I am not kidding when I tell you I have grown this business exponentially this past year.
Well, that's exciting. When I'm guiding my clients with FranNet, I talk about how important it is to match their core skills with what the roles that it takes to run the business as well. Where are their skill gaps? For that, make sure the franchisor has systems and processes to bridge those gaps. So tell us about your transition from teaching into running a cleaning franchise.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting question, because when I decided to pursue the franchise and having all the interviews with different levels at corporate, that question was asked every time, like, how can you come from teaching to do this? And I will tell you how. When you are a teacher, you are the CEO of those 30 little faces sitting in your classroom. And those little faces have different personalities. They have areas that they need to work on. They have strengths. I have to communicate with them. I have to organize. I have to plan. I have to work on time management. You're a problem solver. It's your job to be positive and motivate them so you could get to the end goal with those students. So all of those skills were so transferable here. That was a perfect match. I had all of that I could bring here. And instead of 30 little faces, I had about six adults at the time, maybe a little bit less, that I had to manage. So from that point of view, this job was a great fit. Where my challenge was, is I do not have quote unquote a business background. I've not done accounting. I've not done payroll. So that was a very big learning curve for me. And I learned it, but I wouldn't suggest that anyone should hire me as their accountant or bookkeeper. But I was able, with help from corporate, with help from their supporting videos, with help from other franchisees, I was able to get through and do it.
You know, we've worked with a lot of people over 20 years, and very few comparatively have that accounting or the really strong, they love the administrivia side of things. So at a certain point, their plan is to contract that out. I hire their bookkeeper or bring on an administrator. Is that in your vision board?
Yes. So last year, because it was my first year, I did work with my accountant. He helped me throughout the year. We were thinking of handing it over or me to learn QuickBooks, but halfway through, we decided that that's probably not something that I really do need to focus on. I want to focus on growing the business. So we finished up the year. I recently acquired a bookkeeper. So I'm really excited about that, because now I understand more. I know more. And I have that growth to be able to do these things. And definitely my goal for this year, one of them is by the end of it to have somebody part-time to help me in the office.
So it really comes down to best use of time, doesn't it? Where if you do something that you're not good at, it takes a lot longer.
Oh, yes.
And while you're doing that, you're not doing the things that are really productive.
Right. And that was where I think the frustration would lie, as I was spending time, you know, working on payroll or accounting. And I also realized I shouldn't even be doing that during the day. Like, I need to do that on my weekend or on a Sunday or in the evening. And have it as a completely separate job, because during the day, I want to be answering those phones. I want to be out doing free in-home estimates. I want to meet my clients. I want to be there to support my employees as well. So to be tied up doing, it's another job. accounting. It's a whole other job. It just was taking too much time away from where I wanted to focus, which is obtaining clients.
And that's, so let's go back to that. You said you've grown exponentially in the year. So let's talk for a little bit. Explain to us, please, what were the key components that you focused on to achieve the growth? And what does that, has that journey looked like?
So for me, I knew right away that I needed buy-in from my employees. So if they weren't buying what I was selling, then I'm not going to be able to grow. I needed to create a team who would support myself, the company, and each other. And I learned a lot about what would work and what wouldn't work. But from the start, the first day of my ownership, I had a staff meeting, and it was in my house because I did not have an office and I had a small staff. There was only six cleaners that came, and I talked to them about my vision, what my goals were. I asked them what's working well right now, what's not working so well. So I call it like keep, change, toss. I used to do that in my classroom a lot with my students. It was a great activity. I always had their voice and best interests as I grew, and I communicated constantly with them. So for me, I knew that had to happen first. I cannot have clients or grow the business if I did not have a team that wanted to do that as well. Now I have a team of 12. And I have loyal, committed, hardworking cleaners, and they are very involved with my visions and goals, and I value their voice. And together, I feel as a team, we're growing. Because that is happening, I am able to focus on clients and going into their homes and meeting with them and calling them on the phone and checking in quality checks. Even if I know something monumental was happening, like, oh, your daughter got married on the weekend. How did that go? So I don't have to worry about that. So I could concentrate on the growth. And they reap the benefits of that, because when I could do that, that means more cleans for them, which means more money in their pockets too.
I'm hearing a couple of really key elements. There's three that I one is culture. Yeah, right from the very beginning, you were looking at the culture. In my book, I talk about servant leadership. One of the drivers is grow your people and your leadership skills. And the very best top performing franchisees all have their clients, the vision of their clients is second to their staff. Their staff are their most important repeat customers. Yeah. So you're doing that. So one, the focus on the staff first. Two, the trust. I hear a very strong element, like for you to share your vision and goals with them, that's trust. For you to build those relationships with the customers and really care about them, Candace, that's trust. So I love that. And then the third part is communication, ongoing communication. These are all really, really important for top performance in franchising. So it doesn't surprise me that you've doubled the staff and probably even more on the size of the top line.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that. Yes. And, you know, you go back to those transferable skills. Well, that's what you did as a teacher in a classroom.
Well, right? You know, I've worked with a lot of teachers over the years, but that's possibly one of the best answers I've ever heard about all the transferable skills that they have. So it really, and I did junior achievement for one season. So I grade 7 and 8 students. So I had that relative eye-opening experience.
Oh yeah, they're my favorite, the 7 and 8s.
So with all the things that you did in the first year, what were the challenges? Did you face staff losses, or is there anything that, other than the accounting that you had to learn, but were there any other big hurdles that you had to overcome?
Yeah, I think for me, it was, life-work balance. Mental health and well-being is very important, and I needed to make that very relevant in our franchise and make sure that we put in some of that work-life balance, because it's very easy to communicate now. We, like, after hours, we have a phone, and you would want to tell someone something right away. So we did put in a wellness policy. So we are ensuring we're not contacting each other outside of working hours or on weekends, unless, you know, there are exceptions to that. But we now are all understanding that. And I feel as a whole, we're working on that. And we realize it's very important to shut off. And in order to, for me, when I shut off, I feel that's where I get a lot of my ideas. And if I'm always immersed in it, I'm not thinking of those, oh, if I did this, then this. So by shutting off, I have been able to think differently, I guess, to tap into that creativity more. So that was a challenge. Another challenge definitely was finding the right fit employee for Molly Made. That was, I learned a lot about what will work and what doesn't work, what a good fit would be like, because you are working in partners every day. So not only do you have to be a good fit for Molly Made, I need to ensure that personalities will all fit together. Like, it's like building a team, right? Like a sports team. You're trying to bring on to these your athletes that would fit into your organization. So same type of thing, looking at who will be able to fit, who fits that Molly Made way of cleaning, who understands that clients are important, who understands how to work as a team, who's professional, right? I have high standards, and I know my cleaners have them too. And they care. So people, you know, that caring has to be there, that they care about the clients they're going to clean. We have regular clients, and I wanted them also to build culture. So I talk about culture all the time, and we could circle back to that, but I'm talking about the challenges of employees. Then if I did find employees, either they were great workers, but maybe not a fit, personality wise, or I might find a fit personality wise, but wasn't meeting that Molly Made standard. So I'm still learning that, but the team that I have are wonderful. And as far as the third challenge, I want to say for me, it was like startup challenges. Everything was done through my home, but that wasn't working for my employees because I don't live right in the city. So it was very inconvenient. It meant that they had to work longer than was necessary. And, you know, there were people at my house on a weekend, and they shouldn't be because they should have their own time. So it was about that needed to change. So I started looking for an office, which was a goal of mine. My goal was to have an office for the beginning of January 2023. But I realized quickly this was a challenge. And I got my office in October 2022. So that was a big game changer.
So it's interesting. What I'm hearing, there's an element of boundaries in each of these. When you talk about the work-life balance, it's about setting boundaries for your staff. And I find a lot of owners, new franchisees, it's the boundaries for their family. You know, they need time for themselves. They need time for their spouse. They need time for their family. And then comes the business. It should be in that order, but it takes time to get there. Mm-hmm. But you've gone further and you talk about shutting off. So you help your staff look at that as well. And even getting the office location, it's kind of a boundary of, hey, you're respecting them. You don't come to my house, and you're also respecting the time. So that's really cool. On the staff, virtually every sector of the economy has got employment, the talent pool challenges. Have you found that when you were going through your search for new employees? Did you come up against that as well, or is that a little different for you?
Explain that expression to me, please, Gary.
Well, the shortage of available workers for new jobs.
Okay, so that's called town pool. Okay, I that's something new for me. No, I would put an ad in Indeed, and Windsor showed up. Now I would get a lot of resumes, and I would have to sift through them. One thing that I do need is our drivers, right? We drive. I give the employees a car to take. So that was a challenge sometimes, but no, I would receive a lot of resumes. Yeah, I've always had people to work. I've never had to not go to a clean or cancel a clean because of employees not available.
Enjoying the episode so far? Franchise Canada also has bi-monthly newsletters full of franchise opportunities. With Franchise Canada e-news, new content gets sent directly to your inbox, and you can keep up to date on the newest episodes of the Franchise Canada Chats podcast that you're listening to right now. Plus, you get a free subscription to Franchise Canada magazine. Join the 19,000 fellow franchisees, industry leaders, and aspiring entrepreneurs by subscribing at franchisecanada.online. Now, back to the episode.
So that might come back to culture. And we talked a little bit about culture before. Let's talk about how you motivate your employees to get them more loyal to you.
And I think that does come back to culture, because when I look at my staff, I have a lot of referrals. Like, they have told their friends and family, oh, you have to come and work at Molly Maid Windsor. Wow. And so that has been great, because the word is out that you got to come and work for Molly Maid Windsor. And I do spend a lot of time cultivating culture, whether it's between me and the employees amongst themselves, myself to the client, and the employees to the client. You know, it looks differently depending on who we're working with, but I do spend a lot of time with the employees. I am accessible to them. I really am. And if they need me for whatever reason, something that's not even professional, like more personal reason, you can reach out to me. I'm going to be here for you. I also feel I'm vulnerable with them, so I don't keep secrets. I'm very transparent, and I think because of my vulnerability and being able to relate to some of their stories and give them some of my stories, I think that builds trust and that culture as well. I make sure we're communicating regularly. You know, I don't get to see them every day because they don't need to report to the office at the beginning or end of a shift. But I set up a WhatsApp my first week of owning this franchise, and some were like, I don't know how to use it. I'm like, well, we're all going to know how to use it. And it's been great, because not only can I give messaging there, we have some fun too. We post some fun things. We also put shout outs when someone's done great. So they'll shout out each other, or I'll shout them out. When I'm doing quality checks and clients are saying positive things about their work, I make sure they know about it. I make sure I'm putting them up. I make sure to celebrate them. If I have a win and make a milestone, we're all celebrating. They know I love it. I'm like, let's celebrate. I love to get them together. I treat them as little treats. Easter's coming up. They'll all have a little Easter basket. Valentine's Day, they'll get something. I put in incentives. I spend a lot of time with my employees. I value and appreciate them, and I want them to know I don't want them to leave me. I want them to stay.
Well, I go back to what the theme that I heard from all the top franchisees in the book is, the employee is the most valuable repeat customer. Mm-hmm. So, as I listen, Candace, I get to talk with a lot of people, You're already doing a lot of the things that top performing franchisees do. So I'm going to be excited to watch you and a lot of franchisees, whether in Molly Made and through other systems, can learn a lot from you. This is very, very cool. Congratulations. What advice would you give to prospective franchisees who are looking at this for the very first time and haven't even decided what kind of category they want to go into? Like, I want to be in business, but I'm not sure what's out there for me.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to understand what the commitment is. So the one thing, you know, I know I'm new, but there are other newer franchisees that I have spoken to. They've reached out to me. And the one thing that they were both surprised about was actually how busy they are, how much work it is. So I think you have to understand that whether you are buying a franchise that's been established or not, if you want it to grow, you do work a lot. I work a lot. The great thing though about it is I can work whenever I want to. So, you know, if I feel like working at 10 o'clock at night, I can, and I have, and I will. So I think that's one thing that all franchisees need to understand. It is a big commitment. And you do have to work hard, and it's never ending. Like, it should be ending. The work-life balance is important, and that needs to be in what I'm saying. But I think that needs to be understood. I also think a lot of research needs to be done to see what the demographic is, which I have mentioned already. What is it looking like in the area that you're purchasing the franchise in? Has there been growth? Is it stagnant? Find out the reasons why. Ask those questions. Speak to the current franchise owner if you can, and make sure you're prepared with a list of questions that you have already researched to ask the franchisee. You have to be so prepared before you're just making this decision. And then at the end of it, it is a leap of faith. If you've not done it before and you're leaving one career to start another career, and my words at the beginning to the staff was, I have no idea what I am doing. But we kept growing and growing. And corporate was like, what are you doing down in Windsor? I'm like, I don't know. I'm just working. I'm just working. I've never done this before, but I'm just working. And I feel you have to be positive. There's a lot of negativity I see. And it's easy to be negative. It is. But
it's a choice, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's way better to be positive and approach everything. You know, if your staff will be negative, no, you counter that with the positive. It drives them crazy, but they love it at the same time. Putting that smile on your face when you don't feel like it, it's contagious. That energy, your staff will pick up on it.
Well, so there's no shortage of energy that you just exude positivity and excitement. You know what? One of the things that when we coach clients, that they start looking at categories of franchises before they've taken a deep look at themselves. And right at the very beginning, when we ask, you know, the transferable skills. Our counsel to clients is look at yourself. What are your skill strengths? What are your skill gaps? And what are the goals? What is it that you want to achieve through business ownership that you've not been able to achieve through a career? That's where you start, and then go looking and see what starts to align. So there's a lot of different elements there. What's next for you in your business? What does 2024 look like?
Well, I want to continue to grow. So in order to do that, I do have a fifth car. So I have four routes right now. I want to get that fifth one full time. So my goal by the end of this year is to have a fifth route full time. My other goal is to have a part-time office assistant by the end of this year as well. So, and then to hit my milestones that corporate have for us. So I have those milestones that I want to be able to hit again this year. So at the beginning of 2024, we have five full-time routes. I have an office assistant who can help me on those phones so I could be out doing those in-home estimates. And when that happens, that means I need to buy another car. So I've got my sixth route going, then my seventh route. So that is the goal for Molly Maid Windsor.
That is very cool that you are, have that level of clarity, and you're only in business a little bit more than a year. This is just very, very, I'm really enjoying this discussion. My favorite question as we wind down, what would you ask you that I haven't asked you today?
Now I have to think about that one. Okay, ask me the question again. I need to put it in there. Go ahead.
What would you ask you that I haven't asked today?
Oh boy. Maybe what I enjoy the most about this role, about being a franchise owner, because you have to enjoy it. You have to love it and want it. So I think that would be one question.
So what's the answer?
Okay. What I love about this job is that what I put into it, all that work, effort, energy, what I am putting into it is what I will get out of it. And no other job is like that. As a teacher, I could put into it like this, like this, like this, but I can only get so much out of it because that's my salary, right? Here, I put into it and work hard, and I am making this growth. I am doing it. And I am able to do that and build this and create something here to say, like, I'm doing this. I did this. Now, that sounds selfish, and I don't mean an I. I have this whole team that I've talked about that I cannot do it without them. And they are integral. And I always say to them, if you have to leave or retire for whatever reason, I'm going to know you forever. These are good people. And together, we're doing this. But that question, what I love about it is that I am creating my future. That's what I love about it.
It's where in corporate jobs or public sector jobs, doesn't matter how much effort you put in, the result is always the same. Whereas with a business, the more effort you put in, the results are directly commensurate with that effort, are far more connected, aren't they?
Yes. And it's that feeling that I get that I never got with teaching, which I loved and I had a great career there. But the feeling when I do my weekly, cash out and I'm like, yes, I did it, and making the next goal and going for it. And that is exciting. And that freedom and flexibility that this franchise owner brings with it. When you're owning a business, you do have that freedom and flexibility that for me as a teacher, Gary, I never had. I couldn't have a vacation if it wasn't in the summer. I couldn't go see my kid do something because I had to be in that building, right? So I've enjoyed that a lot too. I'm not going to lie. So I would say those are the two things that I am really enjoying the most about being a franchise owner.
You go talk to, you shared earlier on about how much work there is. There's always going to be more work than there is time as an entrepreneur, but you get to choose exactly what you're saying. You get to choose when to do that time or that work or hire somebody to do it. And that comes back to the quality, that work-life balance, that some of the most important things our clients tell us that they're wanting to get more alignment with. Thank you very, very much for joining us today, Candace. This is an awesome discussion. I anticipate that you are going to be one of Molly Maid's top franchisees very, very quickly. Congratulations, and thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, Gary. It was great to be here.
You have yourself a great week. Thank you.
You too. Thanks.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us today and listening in. That's a wrap for this session of Franchise Canada Chats. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to Franchise Canada Chats. Catch up on every episode of Franchise Canada Chats on SoundCloud, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your audio media. For more franchising resources, including how-to articles, expert advice, franchise success stories, and franchise opportunities, visit franchisecanada.online. Don't forget to subscribe to Franchise Canada e-news while you're there. You can also learn more about franchising at cfa.ca and connect with specific franchise opportunities at lookforafranchise.ca.